Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the show where we dig into the silicon, the servers, and the supply chains powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors today: Ada, helping businesses integrate AI into their real-world workflows; Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI to SO; and Zen Semiconductor, building the processors and AI fabric behind modern data centers, with ventures like their Sierra RISC-V CPUs and Loom AI Fabric, plus Ada for deploying AI at scale. All right, we've got a loaded episode today. Samsung just landed a massive Broadcom deal to go toe-to-toe with TSMC. Someone allegedly spent $2 billion smuggling NVIDIA GPUs to China. The packaging bottleneck is the new chip shortage. NVIDIA dominated the latest ML perf benchmarks, and Google is quietly re-architecting its TPUs in a really interesting way. Let's get into it. Okay, story one, and this one is a big deal for the foundry world. Samsung has reportedly secured a deal with Broadcom worth around $200 billion running all the way through 2030 to manufacture AI chips. And the stated goal here is pretty direct. Samsung wants to use this as a launchpad to seriously challenge TSMC's dominance in the foundry market. Now, if you've been following the semiconductor industry for any length of time, you know TSMC has had an almost unshakable grip on leading-edge chip manufacturing. They make chips for Apple, NVIDIA, AMD, pretty much everyone who matters at the cutting edge. Samsung has always been the number two player, but the gap has felt wide. This deal is Samsung's attempt to close that gap in a meaningful way. So why Broadcom? Broadcom is one of the most important AI chip companies you might not be thinking about as much as NVIDIA. They design custom AI accelerators, specifically ASICs, for some of the biggest hyperscalers in the world, including Google. Their custom chip business has exploded alongside the AI boom. So landing Broadcom as a major customer is a real signal that Samsung is ready to play in the big leagues of AI silicon manufacturing. Think about it this way: the foundry business is kind of like being a world-class contract manufacturer for the most precise, most complex products on Earth. You're not just pressing buttons and pouring metal, you're working at scales measured in angstroms, and your yield rates, how many good chips you get out of each wafer, directly determine whether your customer's product is profitable. TSMC has spent decades perfecting this. Samsung has the technology, but historically has struggled with yield consistency at leading nodes. A deal of this scale, $200 billion over roughly 6 years, gives Samsung something really important: volume commitments. Predictable, high-volume production runs are how you train your fabs, optimize your processes, and drive down defect rates. It's like a chef getting better by cooking the same dish 10,000 times versus cooking it once a month. Consistency builds excellence. For the broader industry, this is healthy competition. TSMC being the sole realistic option for cutting-edge manufacturing creates supply chain risk. We saw that play out during the chip shortage. If Samsung can close the gap, customers have more leverage, more redundancy, and potentially more competitive pricing. That's good for everyone building AI hardware. Watch this space closely, because if Samsung executes on this deal, the foundry landscape could look pretty different by 2030. All right, story two, and this one is genuinely wild. Bain Capital's data center unit has evicted a tenant called Megaspeed after allegations that the company was using data center colocation space to smuggle NVIDIA GPUs into China, allegedly spending around $2 billion on AI processors for illicit distribution. $2 billion. That is not a rounding error. That's a serious organized operation. And it tells you something really profound about just how valuable NVIDIA's AI chips have become on the global market. They're being treated like a black market commodity. So let's back up and explain why this is even a thing. The US government has implemented export controls on advanced AI chips, specifically targeting high-performance GPUs like NVIDIA's H100s and the newer Blackwell chips. The policy rationale is that these chips can be used to train advanced AI models and have potential military applications. So selling them to certain countries, China being the primary target, is restricted. What that creates, though, is an enormous arbitrage opportunity. If you can get your hands on chips in the US or through other legal channels, and then get them to buyers in China who desperately need them, you can charge a massive premium. We're talking about chips that might list for around $30,000, going for multiples of that on gray markets. When you multiply that across thousands of units, you get to $2 billion fast. The data center angle here is interesting and actually pretty clever from a smuggling logistics perspective. Colocating in a legitimate data center gives you a professional, low-scrutiny environment to receive large shipments of hardware. You've got loading docks, you've got power infrastructure, you've got normal business cover. Nobody looks twice at a rack of servers arriving at a data center. Bain Capital removing this tenant is the right call, obviously, but it also puts a spotlight on the broader question of how data center operators vet their customers. When you're running a colocation facility, you're essentially a landlord for hardware. Do you have an obligation to know what your tenants are doing with the equipment they're receiving? That's going to be a growing compliance question in the industry. For NVIDIA, this is a complicated story. The export controls exist to slow down AI development in certain geographies, but if smuggling is happening at this scale, you have to wonder about effectiveness. It also underscores that demand for these chips is so intense globally that people are willing to take enormous legal and financial risks to get them. That's a testament to just how transformative AI compute has become and how concentrated NVIDIA's advantage remains. Story 3, and I love this one because it's about a part of the chip supply chain that most people completely overlook until it breaks. The CEO of ATNZ, that's a major Austrian printed circuit board and substrate manufacturer, is saying that as the AI chip boom continues, the bottleneck is shifting from chip fabrication itself to advanced packaging. Let me explain what advanced packaging is and why it matters. Because this is genuinely one of the most important concepts in modern semiconductor manufacturing that doesn't get enough airtime. For most of computing history, when we talked about making chips faster, we talked about shrinking transistors, Moore's law, smaller nodes, more transistors per square millimeter, but we're hitting physical limits on how small we can go. So the industry has pivoted hard toward another strategy. Instead of making one big chip that does everything, you make multiple smaller chips called chiplets and then package them together very tightly so they can communicate as if they were one chip. This is what's inside NVIDIA's Blackwell GPUs, AMD's latest processors, and basically every cutting-edge AI accelerator. You've got compute dies, memory dies, maybe networking dies, all interconnected through sophisticated packaging technologies. TSMC calls their version CoWoS chip on wafer, on substrate. It's like building a very precise, very small city where all the buildings need to be connected by incredibly fast highways. And here's the problem. The equipment and expertise to do this kind of advanced packaging at scale is extremely limited. It requires specialized interposers, precision alignment at microscopic tolerances, and entirely different manufacturing infrastructure than traditional chip fab. The ATNZ CEO is pointing out that even if chip makers can produce all the silicon they need, they're now waiting on the packaging step to actually deliver finished products. We saw this play out with CoWoS capacity being a real constraint on NVIDIA's H100 supply last year. It wasn't just about making the GPU die. TSMC had to massively expand their CoWoS capacity to keep up with demand. And that takes time. You can't just spin up advanced packaging overnight. The implications here are significant for investors and hardware buyers alike. Companies that play in the advanced packaging space, substrate makers, interposer manufacturers, advanced assembly facilities, are becoming increasingly strategic. If you control the packaging, you control part of the critical path for AI chip delivery. ATNZ is positioning themselves as a key player in that supply chain, and frankly, the demand signal they're seeing backs that up completely. This is also why you see big investments from companies like Intel, whose Foveros packaging technology is a core part of their strategy, and why TSMC keeps expanding CoWoS capacity aggressively. Packaging isn't an afterthought anymore. It's a primary battleground in the AI hardware race. Story 4, NVIDIA just swept the ML Perf Training Version 6.0 benchmarks, and when I say swept, I mean clean sweep. This is the industry-standard AI training benchmark suite from the ML Commons Consortium, and NVIDIA's Blackwell architecture dominated across the board. ML Perf is kind of the Olympics of AI hardware benchmarking. It's a standardized set of training workloads, things like large language model training, image recognition, recommendation systems, and the goal is to give the industry an apples-to-apples comparison of how different hardware stacks perform. It's run by a neutral consortium, so it carries real credibility, and NVIDIA won everything. The Blackwell architecture, specifically their GB200 NVL72 systems, which are these massive rack-scale configurations where 72 Blackwell GPUs are all connected together with NVIDIA's NVLink interconnect, set records across essentially every benchmark category. What makes this particularly impressive is the scale dimension. It's one thing to win a benchmark with a single chip. It's another to demonstrate that your architecture scales efficiently when you chain together dozens or hundreds of chips. A lot of the real-world AI workloads we care about, training frontier models like the ones powering today's AI assistants, require thousands of GPUs working in concert. The ability to scale efficiently is arguably more important than raw single-chip performance. Think of it like this. A single race car being fast is impressive. But if you need to move a million packages across a country, you care about how well your entire fleet of trucks coordinates. NVIDIA's NVLink and NVSwitch interconnect fabric is what allows their GPUs to function as a coherent fleet, rather than a collection of individual cars. Now, MLPerf results should always be taken with a grain of context. These are optimized benchmark runs, not necessarily reflective of every real-world use case, and competitors like Google with TPS and AMD with their Instinct line also submit results and make their own claims. But a clean sweep is a clean sweep. It's hard to spin that any other way. For anyone making hardware purchasing decisions for AI training infrastructure, this is meaningful data. The performance gap between Blackwell and the competition on large-scale training workloads appears substantial based on these numbers. That said, price, performance, and availability matter enormously, and that's where alternatives can still make a compelling case. But purely on benchmark performance at scale, NVIDIA continues to set the bar that everyone else is trying to reach. And the last story today, this one is genuinely fascinating from a chip architecture standpoint. According to a report from Morgan Stanley, Google is developing a new TPU, their tensor processing unit, internally codenamed Frozen V2, and it's making some really interesting architectural choices. Specifically, it's hardwiring SRAM directly onto the silicon, and in doing so, it eliminates the need for TSMC's CoWoS advanced packaging technology. Let me unpack why this is such an interesting design decision. Most modern high-performance AI chips use a combination of on-chip SRAM, that's fast, static RAM built right into the processor die, and external high-bandwidth memory, or HBM, which is stacked memory that sits next to the chip and connected through that CoWoS packaging we just talked about. HBM gives you huge memory bandwidth, which AI workloads are incredibly hungry for. The conventional wisdom has been that you need HBM for serious AI work, because the models are so large and the memory bandwidth requirements are so extreme. But Google is apparently betting that by integrating more SRAM directly on the die, a technique sometimes called embedded SRAM or on-die memory, they can get what they need without the complexity and cost of advanced packaging. There are real trade-offs here. SRAM on die is incredibly fast. It's the fastest memory you can have because it's literally on the same piece of silicon as your compute. But it's also expensive in terms of die area. You're trading chip area and therefore manufacturing cost and yield for memory bandwidth and latency. HBM with CoWoS gives you more memory capacity and often more raw bandwidth, but adds packaging complexity, cost, and supply chain dependency. Google's angle here is that by eliminating CoWoS, they reduce dependency on TSMC for that packaging step, simplify their supply chain, and potentially improve yields since they're dealing with fewer integration steps. It also means they're not competing with NVIDIA and others for CoWoS capacity, which, as we just discussed in the packaging story, is a real constraint right now. There's also a power efficiency story here. Hardwired on-die SRAM can be more power efficient for specific workloads compared to going off-chip to HBM. And Google's TPS have always been designed with efficiency in mind. They're not trying to be general-purpose accelerators. They're purpose-built for Google's own AI workloads, particularly the Gemini model family, so they can make architectural trade-offs that a general market chip like an NVIDIA GPU can't afford to make. This is a really good example of why vertical integration at the hyperscaler level is so powerful. Google controls the model, the software stack, the compiler, and now increasingly the chip architecture. They can co-design all of those layers together in ways that a chip company selling to thousands of different customers simply cannot. It's a fundamentally different optimization philosophy, and it's producing some genuinely novel hardware decisions. Keep an eye on how this performs in practice. If it works, it validates a pretty different approach to AI memory architecture. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a ton of ground: Samsung taking on TSMC with a massive Broadcom deal, a $2 billion GPU smuggling operation, advanced packaging becoming the new bottleneck, NVIDIA sweeping MLPerf with Blackwell, and Google's fascinating TPU rethink. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by Ada, Ago Consulting, and Zen Semiconductor. Seriously, check them out. Links are in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd also recommend checking out Patent Pulse and the Ada Podcast Network. It's a great show for tracking the innovation happening behind the scenes in tech and beyond. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. And if this episode was useful to you, share it with someone in your orbit who geeks out on hardware. Show notes with all the details are at the link in show notes. Until next time, I'm Skylar Monroe. Keep building.